The tank is full, and we're moving through the Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford and Rosie on the house.
And we're just tickled to death this morning to be making Rosie on the House broadcast history by having our first Olympic gold medalist in studio with us this morning. She was an icon at the Romero House all through the 90s and 2000 when she won her gold medal in Sydney, Australia. Misty Hyman. We had swimmers. The kids were swimmers, and Misty was... I mean, Katie even showed up this morning just to meet Misty. So, Misty, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
So we were talking about your innovation, your team's innovation, your coach's innovation. You know, and I knew your coach, but only because we swam against him. You know, what's his story? Where did he come from?
Right. Well, he was from Arizona as well, and he had always had a dream. He coached at many of the local country clubs and the pools in town, and he had always had a dream of starting his own training facility. And so he bought 10 acres in the desert at Union Hills and 38th Street. And I remember when my mom was looking for a year-round program to start me in, she literally opened the phone book, the Yellow Pages, and looked for the closest year-round program to our house.
Wow.
And it happened to be the Arizona Sports Ranch. And at the time, there was a dirt road to get there.
It was a funky place.
It was.
Yes, kind of tucked away and in the desert. And my coach had built his home there. And in his backyard, he had a four-lane, 25-yard pool. By the time I was 9 years old, we had put in, I say we because it was kind of like a family, he had put in a 8-lane 50-meter pool, an Olympic-sized pool in the yard as well. And then there were beach volleyball courts, tennis courts, and a multi-purpose room. And eventually there were dorms for swim camps in the summertime. Kids
wow.
from all over the world would come and do week-long swim camps.
What a payoff for him to end up with you in his, you know, in his sights and be able to work with you. I wanted to go back to just kind of what happened once y'all came up with these innovations with the dolphin kick and staying underwater. Tell us what the controversy was in that.
Sure. Well, I think we were just about to talk about the side kicking part.
Yes.
And that came about when I got out of the pool. I said, Coach, it felt faster on my side. Why is that? And he pulled out an article from Scientific American magazine, and it was written by scientists from MIT, and another coach had given him this article. And the article described the way that fish swim underwater, because these scientists were trying to apply what they were learning from fish to our military, because fish swim so much more efficiently than anything humans have ever built.
Okay.
And so the article described that as a fish flips its tail in one direction, it creates a whirlpool in the water that spins one way. And as a fish flips its tail the other direction, it creates another whirlpool that spins the opposite way.
Okay.
And when those two hit together, that's what makes the fish go forward.
Okay.
Wow.
And a lot of that has to do with the change in pressure, actually, in the water, very much the same way an airplane flies. But essentially, my coach started to think, well, isn't that what happens when Misty's doing butterfly under the water? She's spinning. These vortices are created in the water, and that's what makes her move. But he thought, well, depending on the size of these whirlpools, if you're on your front swimming butterfly kick underwater, those could hit the bottom of the pool or the surface.
Sure.
And so we actually did an experiment to find out how big they were. We went to the pool on a weekend day, and we rubber banded a plastic tube from my fingertips all the way to my feet. And we put dye from the grocery store, food coloring, in the tube. And I held it like a straw to keep the dye in there. I got in the pool, and my coach stood on a diving board with a video camera, pushed off underwater, let my thumb off the top of the tube so the dye would come out by my feet, and kicked dolphin kick on my side, and we have film of these whirlpools, the vortices, getting to be almost 4 feet in diameter.
Wow.
And so the theory was that by kicking on my side, then those whirlpools would be uninterrupted by the bottom and the surface, mm-hmm. as long as I wasn't in an end lane.
So a bigger driver for you.
Yeah, so you get more power from each kick.
All right. Well, we would not be doing our listeners justice if we high-centered and spent the entire hour talking about your Olympic accomplishment. You won the gold medal in Sydney, Australia in 2000 in 2:05.88.
Right.
So what happens if you swim 2:06?
I'm probably not sitting here talking to you.
That was the hardest part as a swimmer parent, is trying to console your child who's lost by a hundredth of a second.
It's no, true.
No, the hardest part about being a parent of a swimmer
is the deck at
sitting 4.5 hours on the deck in the middle of the summer for a two-minute race.
Right, exactly. For 3 days in a row.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That was the hardest part. Okay, so let's talk about that event just real quick. You beat someone who hadn't been beat in this event in six. They were undefeated for 6 years, and she was swimming in her home country. She had home court advantage. She hadn't been beat in 6 years. What were the broadcasters, the sports broadcasters, what was everybody thinking you would do? We were thinking like... we were hoping a bronze, weren't we?
Exactly. Everybody said an outside chance for a bronze medal. Of course, just to make the Olympic team is a dream come true.
I mean,
I had just missed it in 96 by 3/100ths of a second. So just being on the team and getting to be there was incredible. It was like a fairy tale. I'd wake up every morning and I'd look around. I'm like, am I really here? Is this really happening? And I'd peek out the window and I could see the Olympic flame from my bed in my dorm. And I would get the chills all over again. I think, yes, this is really happening. But of course, if you're at the Olympics and you have a chance, you want to go for the gold. And my coaches and I had talked about what it would take to beat Susie O'Neill. My Stanford coach, the late Richard Quick, and of course, my Arizona coach, Bob Gillett, we had talked about exactly how I could swim a race, that I had the potential to beat her if I put together the race of my life.
Wow. And you did.
I did.
All right. So now... I have a relative who also competed in the Olympics in Berlin in 36. And he's deceased, but his whole life was about that moment. He never got over it. What's so impressive about you is you've gone through this incredible evolution. I don't know what to call it, but you're not living in that 20588.
No, it's still a big part of my life.
Oh, I bet.
And I think that's the hard part with something like that is that, you know, for a little, you know, at first the 15 minutes were great. They were very overwhelming at the beginning. And then I was over it and I didn't want to talk about it anymore. But every day, somebody would ask about those 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Yes. So there was about several years where I didn't go one day without talking about it. And, you know, what's nice is I feel like at this point in my life, I think there was a time when I thought I need to step away from that. And I went and did some traveling and had some other experiences where I got away from it and kind of felt like I closed that chapter. And what has been wonderful is to know that I could go off and do these other things that had nothing to do with swimming and then come back and integrate who I was with who I am now and have those. I can still be the person who won the gold medal, but I can also be all the things that I am now. A mom, a professional, a business owner, a coach, and but that's not an easy transition to make for anybody.
No, it's not.
So you do a lot of motivational speaking, and you called it a platform of
the privilege of the platform.
Privilege of the platform. So using all those things that you learned to encourage the next generation and beyond, right?
Yes, that was something my speaking coach Naomi Rohde taught me was that because you know who do I think I am to stand up there behind a podium and talk about my life, and she taught me that it's a privilege to have a platform that I do from winning the gold medal and to be able to share it in a way that has a positive effect on others.
Well, your energy is just a positive effect on others.
Thank you.
So when did you launch this next career? Because you have a degree in international studies, and then a second degree.
I have an MBA in hotel management and finance.
Okay.
And one of the things that really maybe inspired me about my swimming experience was the idea of human potential. And what we're capable of. I mean, that's really the key thing that swimming taught me was that I was capable of so much more than I could have ever dreamed. And through that process, I learned how to reach peak performance, not just in terms of my physical body, but also mentally and in other areas of my life. And I felt like that was something that everyone can apply to just being the best human being you can be in any endeavor that you do. And so for me, I felt like very much like the Arizona Sports Ranch was for me, you know, one of my dreams has been to be able to create a space where people can pursue the idea of human potential. And so part of that, you know, in running a business like that seemed to come from the hospitality area, from resorts. And I think growing up in this area, resorts are such a big part of our economy. And so I decided to pursue my MBA in hotel management and finance. And so that took me to Switzerland, actually.
Wow. And you were there how long?
A year.
Okay. And so now, today, you can find Misty at mistyhyman.com. Can you take a swimming lesson from Misty Hyman?
You can.
Can you really?
At the Sanctuary Resort in Paradise Valley. And actually, Fodor's just ranked my lessons at the Sanctuary as one of the top 15 most exclusive hotel experiences in the world. So,
congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's an absolutely beautiful setting. That's
it is.
For sure. It's hard to beat the Sanctuary.
I couldn't ask for a better office.
That's fantastic. And so, how would they book that through your website?
They can reach me through the website, or they can call the Sanctuary directly.
Okay. And then how about your motivational speaking? You're doing this in corporate environments as well.
Yes. Corporations, universities, nonprofits, schools. I customize my speech for the audience and for the purpose of the event. And so I talk about innovation and the math and science and overcoming adversity and share my Olympic story.
And you're living now, right, here in the Valley, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. I have one question that just is totally off track.
She looks nervous.
Have you ever talked with the girl you beat?
We did have lunch in the village after our race.
You did?
Yes.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us. We had lunch in the village. And Susie and I had raced quite a few times prior to that. And so we knew each other. And she was always gracious in victory and was gracious in defeat. And I'd always looked up to her. And it was great to be able to have lunch with her. And we talked about, she was retiring after that. And so, you know, we talked about what she was going to do next. And she had a swimsuit line coming out at Target in Australia, and because swimming is a really big sport in Australia. And so, she was wonderful. So I think one of the coolest things about my experience in Australia was that even though I had beat their superstar, everybody was genuinely happy for me because they knew that it was a breakthrough performance for me. So I felt very lucky to get that kind of response.
Wow. All right, Misty Hyman, swimming innovator, swimming gold medalist, swimming U.S. national titleist 13 times?
Yes.
5 NCAA national titles? That's awesome.
Thank you.
You can reach Misty at mistyhyman.com for speaking to your company, your corporation, your nonprofit, or you can sign up for swimming lessons at Sanctuary. How long are those lessons?
They can be a half an hour or an hour. And really, I work with all levels. So I've helped some swimmers that have had maybe a traumatic experience with swimming and want to get back to it, overcome their fears and learn to swim for fitness. I work with triathletes. I work with people that just want to swim because they can't hike or do other things that they used to do to stay active. So really all levels of swimmers.
Well, we've had a lot of guests on the show, but I have to tell you, with you in studio, I'm starstruck. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your hectic, busy schedule and visiting with all of us here at Rosie on the House. Thanks a million.
Oh, it's been so much fun. Thank you both.